Welcome to yet another episode of the Eastern Lariat podcast here at MLWRadio.com. This past weekend we had our last episode, but Dylan and I, we figured we could do an impromptu show because today is June 27. June 27 marks the 5-year anniversary of the CM Punk pipe bomb promo, actually. But more importantly, June 27, 2016 marked the announcements of the G1 blocks and some of the G1 matches for this year. And Dylan, are you as excited about the announcements as I am?
Oh yes, Trigger. I thought this was a great showing. Twitter was set ablaze with these announcements. And me personally, I was very happy with all the fresh faces in the tournament, and that's been a problem for years. The quality, as always, I think most people expect G1 to be kind of the highlight of the year from a wrestling standpoint. But now I think we're going to get some strong storyline contents, and the blocks, Block A especially, is up in the air in a lot of ways, I think. But I was so excited about this. This was the most positive I've been on New Japan, coming off the great Shibata and Nagata match we talked about. And going into this, I'm fired up, man. I'm so pumped for it.
Yeah, there's if you compare the reactions, especially on Twitter, with the reactions that came after last year's announcements, it's almost 100% positive this year. And last year Twitter, I wrote today, last year Twitter was a wasteland, as people set it on fire with their critics about the G1 climax field.
Especially, they criticized Big Mike.
Especially Big Mike, and everyone was just up in arms about Roderick Strong not being in the tournament. Roderick Strong is not in the tournament again, and yet people are very excited about the G1, and we are going to break things down a little bit. What?
We had someone even better.
Oh yeah,
to make his debut.
That's right. We're going to break things down a little bit, to talk about the participants, run down the matches that are announced so far, and maybe predict our winners, or our winner. Maybe we have the same winner. I don't know. Let's just start with Block A. We have in Block A, the first one announced was Togi Makabe. It's his 13th appearance in the G1. The next one was announced was Satoshi Kojima. Let me check. It's his 7th appearance in a row and his 15th overall. The next one announced was Tomohiro Ishii. For Ishii, it's the 4th appearance. The next one was Hiroki Goto. Goto, of course, won the G1 Climax in 2009? 2008, of course. 2008, he won the G1 Climax and did his 9th participation in the tournament. We have Bad Luck Fale, the Tanahashi killer, as he always beats Tanahashi in the G1. For Fale, it's the 3rd appearance in the G1. Then announced was Tama Tonga in his G1 debut, which is very interesting, as he was not in the tournament last year, but he had some great matches on the undercards of the G1 shows last year. We also had Zanada in his G1 debut. And then the return of one Naomichi Marufuji in his, I believe it's the 2nd G1 for him, if I'm not mistaken. He was in 2012. It's the second run for him after 2012. The Naomichi Marufuji. Then Katsushika Okada, the winner of 2012 and 2014, was announced. And finally, in his 15th appearance and returning after shoulder fracture and biceps tear, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I think a lot of people were surprised to see Tanahashi back in. But as for me, I had no doubt. Knowing it's just who he is and the weight that he carries on his shoulders, the weights that he puts on his shoulders, and just the mentality of Japanese wrestling. And he even addressed the comment himself in his YouTube interview where he said, look, if I'm 60%, I'm still going to do it. And I knew that that attitude would be instilled in him, and I knew that he'd want to come back as a defending champion to make whoever wins again, whether it's him or whether he has to put someone over, it'll make it more special, in his mind especially. So I was not surprised at all by that.
No, I wasn't surprised. As you mentioned, there was this interview that was out on New Japan World a couple of days ago, and you could figure that he would do the G1 nonetheless. With the mentality of Japanese wrestlers, they always try to make it through in the injuries, and Tanahashi is one of them. And Tanahashi at 60% is still a pretty damn good wrestler. Just remember, last year Shinsuke Nakamura had this elbow injury, and he returned for his match against Tomohiro Ishii. And this was the best performance of a one-armed wrestler I've ever seen in my life. And so I believe that Tanahashi will also be able to bring some incredible performances, even though he's not at 100%.
Totally agree with you.
So that's going to be a very interesting group, to say the least. We can talk about some of the individual performers when we go through the matches. Let's go to Block B. First one announced in Block B was the NEVER Openweight Champion Katsuyori Shibata. It's sixth appearance overall, but his fourth consecutive appearance. He was in the G1, I think, 2003 and 4. 4, definitely, when he had a match with Chono. We have Yuji Nagata. Yuji Nagata, of course, being a veteran with his 18th appearance overall and also in a row. We have Tomoaki Honma with his third appearance in a row. A man who set the people on with his first victory last year over Tomohiro Ishii in Currican Hall, which I actually predicted, because it was so obvious for me that this would be the moment for him. But I still hit my knee on my table when I jumped up and when he got the three count, and I couldn't walk for 2 days.
I did that same thing. To me, I saw it coming, but it was so great when it happened. It was like it didn't even matter. Like, easily one of my favorite moments of last year. And then what happened next made me want to cry, pretty much. And when he lost to Yujiro the next night, I was like, why? Like, I never hated Gato more than that moment. I don't.
So the punishment for Yujiro beating Tomoaki Honma is he's not in the tournament this year. Spoiler.
He's teaming with Hangman Page.
Right. Next one is the IWGP Intercontinental Champion Michael Elgin in his second appearance. We have Toru Yano, the reigning GHC Tag Team Champion, with Mauro Fuji, actually. And Toru Yano in his 10th appearance, not more, in his 11th appearance, actually, 10 in a row. We have Tetsuya Naito, the former IWGP Heavyweight Champion. He is in his 7th appearance. We have King of Darkness Evil. That's very interesting that we have Naito and Evil in the same block. It's the G1 debut for Evil, and he's going right against the stablemate. Pretty interesting by New Japan. It's going to be interesting to see how they approach this match when it's going to happen. Let me see. I don't think we have it scheduled yet. Yes, it's happening in Hamamatsu on August the 7th. Three more names left. Kenny Omega, the former IWGP IC champion, in his G1 debut as well. We have then a incredible announcement that had people on fire this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Katsuhiko Nakajima in his G1 debut. Nakajima, it feels like he has been around forever, because he made his debut in 2004 when he was just, I think, 15 years old, had his debut match actually against Tomohiro Ishii in Currican Hall for the infamous World Japan promotion back then. And, well, he has been wrestling for 12 years now. His last New Japan match for a regular New Japan show that was not an all-together show was in 2005 when he lost to Tatsumi Fujinami, actually.
And he's also the youngest person competing in this tournament, according to Jesse on Twitter.
Yes, but I think Okada might be a few months older than Nakajima.
We'll quickly... I don't know who that is.
Well, let's... Let's leave it at that. So Nakajima was born in March of 1988, and Okada was born in 87. So there you go. But if you don't know who Okada is, then of course Nakajima's the youngest. And then, when we all thought that New Japan would put one over Yoshihashi again, they announced him as the final participant for Block B, and Currican Hall went crazy.
It was an amazing moment. The man, you said earlier that Roderick Strong was the one that caused the wasteland on Twitter, but in Japan, the man that the fans wanted more than anything is to see Young Tacos. And now we're seeing his dream come true. And I was so happy when this happened. As you said, there was part of me when I saw Block A and saw Tonga and Mar Fuji, and I was wondering, like, could they leave him out? Could they really leave him out? But they
had no choice.
Exactly. And then they saved him for the main event spot. They knew who the star player of this G1 is.
And again, just going back to today's show, another incredible finishing stretch between Sanada and Yoshihashi today. Yoshihashi again being able to defeat Sanada. He rolled him up today.
And he's the hottest man going into G1.
He is actually. But they are keeping the two apart in the G1, and the only possibility of having a Sanada versus Yoshihashi singles match is if both guys make it to the finals. Well,
we can dream.
We can certainly dream. Like you dream about Goto going to the finals. But yeah, let's go through the matches that were announced so far. We have, for all of the G1 shows, we have two matches announced. They're going back to the format where they have Block A matches on one day and Block B matches on the other day. They're always changing around. And it's starting in Hokkaido, in the Hokkaido Prefectural Sports Center on July 18th, with two great matches. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Sanada and Katsushika Okada versus Naomichi Marufuji.
I think that this is telling that Sanada is in the main event of the first day here. A lot of people were questioning his booking on Twitter, and his losing of Yoshihashi said that he needs to be protected more. But I think when you look at his matches and his run here and the way they positioned him in this video, he was all over the place in this video. I think he's got a bright future. As far as Marufuji, I've been critical of him because in Noah this year, he's had a... I really feel like he's lost his way. I'm not one of these guys that's hated Marufuji forever or anything like that, but the last year or so, I really think he's been out of it. And this is where we're going to see what he's really got left, because he better be motivated. And he's got a huge opportunity to represent Noah here. And as we saw the last time, a lot of his matches for the 2012 G1 that he was in are on New Japan World right now. If you want to go to check those out.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to see what he does. Not, like I said, I could see him being a real wild card in terms of match quality, but I think he's going to have at least two or three good matches, great matches potentially here.
Yeah. I'm just looking at a Noah post because Noah already announced that they are taking refunds because Marufuji and Nakajima are missing some Noah shows because they are in the G1. But certainly they will have the opportunity to represent Noah in a good manner and on a big stage. And that's certainly not bad for Noah. To Sanada, he's, as you said, they are probably making him a star in this tournament, and I'm expecting him to finish in the top three of his block.
I think that's there's a very good possibility of that.
Yeah, and going on to the second day in Kirkenhall, July 22nd, we have Yuji Nagata against Tetsuya Naito and Katsuyori Shibata versus Tomoki Honma, who also meets on July 3rd for the NAVA Openweight Championship.
I think that Honma is one of the more interesting people from a booking perspective in this tournament. As we said last year, his losing streak that he's had for years in the G1 built up to this great climactic moment. But it's gone now. You know, they can't do it again and have the same magic with him. So he's going to have a new storyline of sorts going into this. And I think his matches will be great, but I'd love to see them do something a little different with him. But he is one of my favorites in the company from an in-ring perspective. And as far as Nagata, he's another person that I think could go a lot of different ways. Last year, he had a disappointing tournament from a win-loss perspective, but still brought a lot of great passion and a lot of great matches to the table. And I'd like to see him get a little respect, too. But because of his age, there's a good chance that he may not... I don't expect him to compete for the block or anything like that, but I do hope he at least is above Yujiro level where he was last year. And those are two things I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, Shibata... a lot of people are going to have their eyes on him this year, as they do every year. But I think that his match quality will still be among the top of the tournament here.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a new storyline with Honma. Maybe he'll still lose most of his matches, I believe. But he always can work with the underdog role. So I guess that's what they are positioning him for. Moving on to July 23rd, in Mashida Municipal Gymnasium, we have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Togi Makabe and Katsushika Okada versus Sanada in a rematch from Wrestling Dontaku in another great spotlight match for Sanada.
Yes, as we said, Sanada is going to have every chance to turn himself into a star via this tournament, and I expect him to deliver, especially much like his Big Japan Strong Climb performance earlier this year. I think he will have another great run here.
Then, National Pro Wrestling Day, as we called it on our last show, July 24th in Curriken Hall, Tomoaki Honma versus Yoshihashi in a match of two crowd favorites, and Katsuyori Shibata against Katsuhiko Nakajima in Nakajima's first real high-profile match in New Japan.
The rematch from Big Mouth Loud all those years ago.
In 2006, I believe. I'm right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
but this is going to be a great match. This is probably my most anticipated match of the tournament, Shibata versus Nakajima, and I think many people would agree with that. It's going to say a lot how Nakajima hangs with him here. I think being put in that big spotlight spot means we're going to get a long match, and there's going to be a lot of violence in this match, I predict.
Oh, yeah.
And Yoshihashi and Honma is just like the feel-good story match. That's one of my... Those two in particular are two of my most anticipated matches of this tournament, and I can't wait for that show.
It's going to be a great show, and I learned today, we talked about three shows happening on the same day in Japan, actually, but I learned that Big Japan and Dragon Gate, they're two big shows. They are starting at 3 p.m., Japanese time, while the New Japan show starts at 6:30 Japanese time. So you can still watch one of the early shows, Big Japan or Dragon Gate, either on Nico Nico or on Samurai TV Live, and you can then go to New Japan World and stream the Korakuen Hall show, which should be an amazing day for pro wrestling fans.
Absolutely.
Going to the Big Palette Fukushima, Togi Makabe versus Sanada, and Katsushika Okada versus Hiroki Goto in their return match from February.
I really think that Goto here, like, obviously everyone knows this year he's taken a tumble down the ladder, so to speak. But in his matches leading up to this against Evil, and especially in those tag matches with Chaos versus the Ingobernables, Goto's really put in a great effort. And I think that he's going to continue doing that this tournament, and he's going to try to work twice as hard. I watched a match recently for an article I was doing where Misawa teamed with Takashi Sugiura versus Goto and Nakamura from Wrestle Kingdom 3.
Awesome.
And Sugiura and Goto were clearly not the focus of the match, obviously, but they decided instead of, like, mailing it in, they both worked twice as hard to be noticed. And so I think that's what Goto's going to bring, that same passion to the table here. I think this match is going to be a lot better than February, where he donned a baffling Hakushi tribute.
Oh yeah. I guess nobody is really expecting anything from Hiroki Goto this year in the G1, but he might surprise some people. Last year in the G1, he beat Okada, which set the table for the title match later in February.
I do think that he will do better than many people think. I think he could, in this block with Sonata, if they do four men, he would be the fourth man, and I could easily see them pushing him above Sonata, just because this is Sonata's first year. Just in terms of how they do things. But I don't expect it. I think he could be either in contention in the last day or in a Nagata role in last year and have 6 points going into the last day. So.
Well, since
he's one of the most interesting guys to me in that perspective.
Yeah, since he's on... We are going to get there later on. We let me just look where I left off. Oh, of course, in this week from July 22nd to... Let me just check when the week actually starts then in July. Because there is also the first Super J-Cup show actually coming up. The week starts on the 18th, which is the Monday, and then we have G1 on Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the next week we have Monday, we have Wednesday, we have Thursday, and Friday again, and also on June 20th, the first round of the Super J Cup, actually. And we have some additional announcements for additional participants for this tournament right now, stemming from last weekend. As the latest update is that Yuma Aoyagi will be representing All Japan, while Kaji Tomato is the K-Dojo guy. Eita is representing Dragon Gate. Taichi and Yoshinobu Kanemaru are representing Suzuki-gun, while the three Noah participants are still up in the air. CMLL, Ring of Honor, and the New Japan guys are also not announced yet. Today's show, Bushi defeated or pinned Will Ospreay, actually, and he made an appeal to New Japan to be in the Super J Cup. So we expect the final Super J Cup lineup in early July, I believe.
All I have to say about that run of shows you just listed, cancel Christmas, because that's just going to be great stuff there.
We should actually move along a little bit, little faster, I believe. So just running through the next shows, July 25th, Togi Makabe vs. Sanada, Katsushika Okada vs. Goto, I just mentioned that, right? July 27th, in a building called Nagano Big Hat, we have Michael Elgin, Big Mike, against Katsuyori Shibata, and Tetsuya Naito versus Toru Yano. We have Tokoro Sawa on the 28th with Ishii versus Maro Fuji and Sanada versus Goto. The July 30, Inaichi, Kenny Omega versus Michael Elgin in the rematch for the IC title that was on Dominion. Tetsuya Naito versus Katsuyori Shibata, which is an interesting, very, very, very interesting match, which could be an early determinator for who wins the block.
I do think that's going to be one of the more interesting matches in Block B. I think most people really think Naito's a heavy favorite, and I'm definitely of that opinion. But if Shibata can get a win here and stay true to his form, as the NEVER champion too, he's really the one guy that, in Block B, that you could see possibly, if they wanted to throw a curveball, he would be kind of who they would go to, I feel like.
Yeah. Maybe. Moving on to 31st in Gifu Industrial Hall, Toge Makabe versus Naomi Chimaru Fuji, and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Hiroki Goto in another interesting matchup here.
Can't wait for that match.
Yeah, certainly. It's a lot of great matches were announced today. It's incredible. August the 1st, Takamatsu City Gymnasium, Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Yoshihashi, which should be great, and also yes. Tetsuya Naito versus Tomoaki Honma, two amazing matches announced for this show.
Oh, that's another great show.
Can't wait for that one. Kagoshima on the 3rd of August, Katsushika Okada versus Togi Makabe. Those two have incredible chemistry. Let me tell you just that. And also, two guys who have incredible chemistry as well, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Tomohiro Ishii. And I think it's fair to say that the 2013 G1 match was the breakout match for Ishii.
Just an incredible moment, one of my favorite matches of that whole tournament, of a widely respected tournament. That was my favorite match, probably, of that Ishii and Tanahashi. I think it's safe to say the finish won't be the same with Tanahashi taking the SSD.
No, probably not. Yeah. Even the Brainbuster would be a bit tough, I guess, for him right now. On the 4th of August, Fukuoka sees the matches Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Tetsuya Naito in a first-time ever encounter. They have never met before. Katsuyori Shibata versus Kenny Omega in a very interesting clash of styles. Definitely.
I think I just want to say one thing about Omega here, because I've really hated his run, quite frankly, in New
Japan. Yeah, talked about it.
As the cleaner. I think that this is his chance. I remember seeing him on Twitter. Somebody's asking him, he's like, when are you going to stop this stupid crap? Like, you know, when are you going to be serious? And he's like, and he said something to the effect of, when the time's right, I will. So I think he's got a good head on his shoulders himself. In DDT, I think he's a talented wrestler. I'm not saying that he's some horrible wrestler. I think that his performances have been lackluster for other reasons. I think in this G1, he's going to have a chance to turn things around, as he's lost a lot of momentum, not just with me, but to many people. And I think he could get it back here with some great performances.
Still think he's very self-aware about what he does and what works for him. And this cleaner gimmick, also in the heavyweight ranks, he has dropped some of the silliness, then picked some of the silliness up again. But I think he's really self-aware of what he's doing and how long he can pull this gimmick through. And when he said that when the time is right, he will change things up, I believe we will experience that very soon, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Then Osaka. Osaka is always one of the, if not the, best G1 show every year. Because this year we have two matches announced, Katsushika Okada versus Tomohiro Ishii and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Naomichi Marufuji. Those two matches alone should be incredible.
Yeah, that crowd, the Osaka crowd, is going to be pumped. I'm really interested just to see the reaction to Marufuji and Tanahashi, to see whose side they take, because even though Noah's had better days, Marufuji's still a star from when Noah was still kind of big. You know?
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get a lot of support in Osaka.
People certainly know Maro Fuji. You could see that from the reaction in Kuroken Hall today.
Exactly.
So people are excited for him to be in the tournament. The next day is in Act City Hamamatsu with Tetsuya Naito against King of Darkness Evil in their match in the block. And Yuji Nagata against Kenny Omega, and I don't know why I wrote Hiroshi Nagata on Pure Love. Probably because the New Japan site translates his name to Hiroshi. Let me just check back with that.
That Evil match will be really interesting, I think, to see the stablemates clash. Much like Ishii and Okada, whenever they rile it up, they are with Ishii face Nakamura too in the past. There's always some really, really spirited exchanges here. I think Evil's gonna have, this is his chance to really blow people away. And New Japan Cup, he had a great performance. Evil did.
Yeah, he did.
And I think he's gonna have a chance to repeat himself and reestablish himself as a star. He's gonna be one of the guys that you think, that you say can be a star. I think he's one of those guys.
Certainly, and it's gonna be the first time that Los Ingobernables actually clash in the ring. Which is a great hook for this show, actually.
Yep.
On the 8th of August, it's going to Yokohama Bunker Gymnasium. We have Hiroki Goto versus Togi Makabe in the 2008 final reload. I got that right, I guess.
Yes, you did. I remember that match well with bloody Goto and lots of interference.
And in the end, Goto raising the G1 Cup with his hat bandage. It was a great...
That video's been played like 5,000 times
in
Japan.
Yeah. next show is on August 10 from Yamagata. We have the rematch between Katsuyori Shibata and Yuji Nagata, which should go to Shibata again, I assume.
Yes.
And Michael Elgin versus Tomoaki Honma, which is a fun match.
Yeah, lots of fun.
The two final days. Now it's really picking up. It's going to be 3 days in a sumo hall, starting on August 12th with Naomi Chimaro Fuji versus Hiroki Goto and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Katsushika Okada. And those two had a very underrated, because not often talked about, match that went to a 30-minute time limit draw in the, I believe, in the 2014 G1?
2013.
Of course.
But I will totally agree with you on that one. That's, a lot of times with those matches, I wasn't as in love with their series as many people. I think the one match I really loved, there were two matches that I really loved. The one was at Wrestle Kingdom 2015, and this was my second one. I thought this was one of their best matches, the 30-minute draw. Very underrated performance by both, so everyone check that out if you have the time. So, it was a great match.
Yes, and so just from the announcement of matches, we can probably figure that those four are in the running for winning Block A.
Yeah, I was about to mention that, and I think that's another tip-off that Goto will do well, because he and Marafuji as well, I think, will be up there. Like you said, I totally agree with that statement. I was just thinking that myself.
And in Block B, on the next day, we have Katsuyori Shibata versus Evil, and Tetsuya Naito versus Kenny Omega. And I think the same goes for this block. And very interesting here is that Evil could actually be the one that denies the final for Shibata.
Yeah, that's great booking right there, if it does play out that way. Or, like you said, he could be in the running. He could deny Naito a chance. Possibly.
Yeah.
Very, very unlikely, but possible.
Possible. A lot of possibilities in this G1 as from booking perspective. I think this is really laid out very well.
I agree.
We have the final show then with the winner of Block A facing the winner of Block B, and also with some additional matches. As we mentioned on our last show, probably a junior heavyweight title match, as today Bushi had his great win in the main event, and I assume he could be challenging Kushida on this show.
And that'll be a really great breakout chance for Bushi here, if he does get that match.
Definitely. And so overall, we already said that we're very excited about this tournament. We have the lineups on New Japan World. Every single show will be shown live and complete on New Japan World. Probably not with commentary. Not every show will be with commentary, and but still, remember when the first G1, I think 2013 was the first one you could purchase on Ustream.
Yes.
It was $150 back then, $150. The next year, 2014, was when you bought in advance, it was $110. And now, you're basically subscribing 2 months for New Japan World, and you get it for less than $20.
It's a steal. Like, there's no doubt about that. And actually,
I feel bad about that, actually.
It's literally a steal. It's almost.
Yeah.
But I really like those shows without the commentary.
I have no issue with that as well, either. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like my friend from Voices Wrestling, Joe Lanza, always says, it makes you feel like you're at the show. It gives you a really... You can hear the ring a little better. You're focused on the action. You can hear the crowd. I like it. I think it's
a great point that you hear the ring better. I never thought about that.
Yeah, that's how I feel when I watch it. It makes me feel like I'm there almost.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like that.
Certainly. But so, Dylan, what do you expect for the finals to be?
I think Naito's going to win Black B. I know you think Shibata will have a chance here, but I months ago you said that to me, and I said that'll never happen, and I still feel the same way, kind of. Especially after he won the Never title, if he had lost that match to Nagata, I may have thought about that. But going in as Never champion, I really think this is Naito's block to lose. The only way I can see someone else winning is if their plan is to have Tanahashi win. As he's, like we said, I think Tanahashi and Okada are big favorites in Block A, but it could go either way, depending on who with Block B.
So, going back to Okada versus Naito would be too soon?
Exactly.
They are apparently still keeping Shibata and Okada apart, because I see that being a program for Wrestle Kingdom in 2 years.
Yes.
Maro Fuji isn't winning, but he's probably going far in the block. Sanada could be a dark horse.
Yeah, Sanada, he could be a star here. I think his what he'll gain more is less from his standing, but more his performances.
Right.
So even if he doesn't, isn't in contention in the finals or whatever. Remember, like last year, Naito wasn't in contention on the final day, if you remember.
Yeah.
Or he was outside. It would take something crazy to happen for him to get in, pretty much. It would have to be like a no contest or something crazy like that. And I think we could see something like that with Sonata too, but he could gain from his performances more so than winning, I think.
Oh, yeah. So it's... the final that's... everyone on Twitter is basically expecting is Tanahashi versus Naito, which would be the rematch from the 2013 G1 finals.
It would be a great story if Naito won that again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That would be like the perfect kind of thing of, I'm doing better this time than before.
Because
we know that his win didn't go that well.
Right, it didn't go all that well. But another thing I can expect, because on the last show we talked about... that we both hope they change things up at the on the road to Wrestle Kingdom. A thing I could see would be the G1 winner actually dropping the title shot to Tetsuya Naito, and I believe we are still going to do that briefcase thing.
Yeah.
So it could be Shibata winning, but still Naito stealing his title shot, basically.
But don't you feel like that storyline would be perfect for Goto to choke right before the big dome main event?
Yes, no, that's a great point, actually.
I would be so mad if that happens. I hope we have a show right the day after, because I will rant and rave if something like that happens.
But
I do think that would be a great storyline, though.
Yeah, Goto has had such a bad year that...
Yeah,
that would certainly not surprise me if he would go far in the G1, and that's why I expect Sanada to do very well, because they have been giving him some losses recently, and I expect him to bounce back from those.
Yeah, Shibata would be a good candidate as well. I just think more importantly, it would be such a great thing for Naito's character to sleaze his way into the
that's a great point, actually, and.
Yeah.
Would fit his character, as you said, very well. One thing I want to mention is, of course, Tama Tonga. Very happy for him that he's made it to the tournament, as I believe he deserves it.
Shout out, Tama. Like, enjoy the Tiki Bar. I'm sure you had a great night after you heard this announcement.
Right.
And a lot of people are kind of down on him after his tag team. His brother is not in this tournament, which... speaks volumes in a lot of ways, but I think Tama is going to really have a chance to silence some of those doubters that have kind of soured on him here. He's going to have every opportunity, and I think he will. As I mentioned the last episode a couple of days ago, I think him going to Mexico is going to do him a lot of good, because he was really good when he was on his excursion in CMLL.
He had a very good run with El Terrible, I guess, as the tag team champions.
Yeah, great tag team too. And I think he could have, and we've seen other people find themselves in Mexico, whether it be Naito, Nakamura, and I think he's going to have a great chance in this G1 to really be a breakout character and get some of his goodwill back.
Yes. Another one who always gets some shit from fans is Toru Yano. I know that you're not too high on Yano being in the G1, but...
At first, I was unhappy, but I've kind of turned around at him in that he adds at least something different to the
exactly.
shows.
Exactly.
My only problem with Yano is that he does the same thing over and over. Like, all of his matches are kind of the same.
Well, it's been working for him for so many years, and I think he will do it until the end of his career,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like you can't be mad at him because it's so expected, but I don't want to see the turnbuckle thing come down again, the water. You know, we know all his things that he does. I'd love to see him at least, even if he's going to do some goofy stuff, at least switch it up. At least I will give Omega credit on that. He at least does different things.
He does. But
yeah, I'd like to see that.
In Block B, we will have some great troll fests with Toru Yano, Tetsuya Naito, and Ia, and also Kenny Omega. That's going to be fun. And that's just what Toru Yano brings to the G1. It's the fun, the short matches. People get some, not exactly a day off, but shorter match. Just like, I like the formula of the G1 that was introduced last year with the Block A and Block B matches being divided and the wrestlers not having a singles match every night. Obviously, they don't get the night off, but they don't have to work a grueling singles match every day. And
I will say one thing about that, though. We saw last year there were multiple injuries. Yano himself had a horrible busted head. A tendon's a headbutt. And Nakamura had his injury, had to miss a day. So I feel like my only problem with that for me, I like it because you can just kind of pop in. But a lot of people, I tried to introduce some new people to the G1 last year. Cause I think that's a great way. The great thing about the G1 is you can introduce new fans and they can be fully caught up by the end of it, pretty much. And I think having an investment of 20 days, even though it's still the same amount of, you know, matches, same amount of singles matches, 20 days instead of 10, I think, can war on some of the new people that I introduced. So I hope that everyone can follow through this year and watch all the way through.
Well, I certainly don't want to sound like a tag team match or a six-man tag team match isn't hard for the body, but still, I believe, without having been in a ring once in my life as a wrestler, I think that a singles match of the G1 level is still more grueling than a tag team or six-man tag team match. Overall, as you could probably hear from us running down the tournament and breaking things down a little bit on this Eastern Lariat special here, we are very excited for this tournament. And I can only tell you to get New Japan World for these shows. It's really a steal, as we already pointed out. And Dylan, is there anything else you want to mention?
Only two things here. Mr. G1 Tenzan out of the tournament. I think that really speaks volumes to where his career is at and how much he has left. But he did cut a promo on this show.
He did.
Basically saying, why am I not in this? So I wonder where that's going. He's always been a favorite of mine in the G1s. I think everyone kind of loves. Whenever we'd see the one great match, he'd pull out every year. And my other, not complaint, but I just think we should take note of it, is that Shinya Aoki, not in the G1, as many people had whispered and rumored.
Is that so? I didn't have him on my list, actually.
Yeah, exactly. He's not on the, you know, we thought that there could be something there, hanging out, appearing on Dominion, but I just think that's worth noting, and he could still come in at a later date. I think it would have been too soon for him to just jump right in to that schedule anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think people just wanted it, you know, it's just one of those things where we want to see him face Shibata, we want to see him face Nakajima and these guys, so... But overall, just a great tournament, loaded cards up and down. Like all those shows you mentioned, you went through all those shows. I think probably 17 of those shows, I was like, oh man, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, right.
So that's just from two matches. We didn't even get to my favorite match last year's G1 was And Alan Forel, right before we showed this on Twitter, when he was going down his matches, Ishii and Goto was the first match he listed from last year. And that was my favorite match.
That was a great match, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see another great match between those two again. And just all sorts of great matchups, great strategy, great potential involved. And I can't wait for it, Striga. I really can't.
Yeah, with Tenzan, Tenzan made his debut in the G1 in 1995, only missed 2010 due to an injury. Would have been his 22nd performance this year. It's certainly sad that he's not in, because he's always always working so hard in the G1. But he was originally supposed to be off the Super Best of the Super Junior Tour. He was called in as a late replacement for Tanahashi when he got injured, and so I assume that this is just this tour that he has off right now. So.
Yeah.
It's probably just the break for him, and I can see him getting a final run next year. Yeah, but
it'd be kind of like when his mentor Chono won like 10 years past his prime.
Yeah.
So we could see that happen. One last thing I wanted to mention: Kushida not in the G1 as he had been vying for earlier in the year, and as I said on the last episode, I think it's really better this way for him to not be in rather than to drop a bunch of falls to heavyweights and be kind of like that Nagata position. So I have no qualms with that whatsoever. I was leaning that way anyway. But it's just something to take note of. A lot of people expected and were hoping for.
Well,
I don't think it's that bad.
We have so many new guys in the tournament right now, so many fresh matches. There is still a lot of years left in Kushida's career, hopefully. And he still has the opportunity to be in the G1, possibly next year or in 2 years. But it would certainly, as I think you mentioned on the last show, hurt his junior ace run a little bit. And so it's good that he's not in. I'm right there with you. Yeah, but it's going to be an interesting summer. I'm going to cover it at purolove.com and at cagematch.net. Dylan, how about you?
Check out ProResSpirit.net for all the news, all the updates, translations. G1's definitely going to play a heavy role, and I think everyone's, anybody who follows Japan from a website or just as a fan, this summer is going to be great. And hopefully me and Striga can give you all some great scoops and great updates.
Definitely, and we are not only going to cover it for our respective sites, but of course also here for MLWRadio.com, you will get updates on the G1. We are looking at possibly doing some more shows coming up, but how much content is going to be, it's still up in the air, but just today, like today, we just felt to do an impromptu show, and maybe down the road that's going to happen.
And just our production here, our production techniques, we had the same idea at the same time. pretty much. So I thought that was great. That's how in tune we are as co-hosts. That's what some people don't understand. And I really want to praise you, Striga.
Aww.
For you are the MVP of the show with your technical prowess. Obviously you're a great co-host. You're a great person to talk to. And I'm really happy to be on here, like we said, just to stay on top of things more. If there's anything big that happens, you know, we may do a few more shows of these. It's still up in the air, but whatever we do, I can't wait, because I think we have some awesome shows together, truly.
Man, thank you. And I got to say that it's been a pleasure being here on the show with you, as you always, I don't think people appreciate this enough, but you always stay up very late to do the show with me, actually. It's usually around 5 a.m. in Tennessee when we do the shows.
It's okay, though, because I'm in a stop.
Yeah, but still, I always feel bad about that.
No. Plus, I'm often up late scouring dating websites. Such as OkCupid, to talk to people from around the globe, women around the globe. That is my life now. So when I'm not hosting this, that's what I'm doing. If there are any single ladies listening to this, you know, people. I don't care where you're from either. I'm willing to relocate. So just give me love, people. But no, that They don't call me the Sky Blue hot-blooded young man for nothing, as I said on Twitter.
Oh, man. Our listener, Drella Dre, couldn't have asked a better question than you just made a statement here. I don't know what to say, but... Give Dylan some love, and we'll be back in, I think, 2 weeks. Goodbye. We'll be right back.